Sometimes a conversation that I have totally surprises me. This conversation with our new friend Andrew, or Cappy, was one that I totally needed. It inspired me. It got me so excited, and I know that it will for you too. Cappy is a new friend of Gather, and he works with Rachel Ray and a lot of the projects and brands underneath her personal umbrella brand. He has an incredible career journey, and I think that so much of the stepping stones that he has seen in his career and the opportunities that have come before him will really inspire you and give you hope in a way that so many of us need as we look towards the future with big dreams and, I don't know, entrepreneur endeavors that we hope are in front of us. And so I know that this conversation is one that you are going to want to listen to all the way until the end. If you are not familiar with our new friend, Andrew, or Cappy, you will probably hear me call him both. Here is a little bit more about him. Andrew Cappy Kaplan currently serves as the Vice President of Culinary Operations for the Rachel Ray brand. He is the co-founder and director of Rachel Ray's cooking and kids charity, Yum-O. He is also the founder and CEO of Culinary Advisors LLC, a strategic culinary advisory service. Cappy is a partner of Beyond the Plate Tees, a food-inspired apparel line. Cappy is the host and executive producer of Behind the Plate podcast, a podcast where he sits down with the world's culinary elite to explore their journey into the industry and the social impact they have made in their communities. Prior to working with Rachel Ray, Cappy served as a project manager for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival, overseeing the headline events including Kids Kitchen and Burger Bash, while also producing the celebrity chef cooking demonstrations. Cappy also provided freelance support and production for additional food and wine events, such as the annual Food and Wine Classic in Aspen, Colorado, and the Chicago Entertaining Showcase. Cappy is a professionally trained chef, earning a culinary degree from the Culinary Institute of America, a bachelor's degree in hospitality management from Florida International University, and has deepened his background in nonprofit management as an attendee of the Stanford Nonprofit Management Institute. Oh my goodness, what a dream lineup. Just to finish off, in his spare time, Cappy serves on the Leadership Council for Share Our Strength and the Advisory Council for Urban School Food Alliance. He's a member of Chicago Public Schools School Food Advisory Group and also spends his time as a founding external advisory board member for the Institute for Hospitality and Tourism Education and Research through his alma mater, FIU. Cappy is a culinary industry expert for Global Philanthropy Group and an ambassador to the Social Innovation Summit. He has lectured at the CIA, Harvard Healthy Kitchens Healthy Lives Conference in Napa, California. And if you want to learn more about our new friend, you could find him on Instagram or his personal Twitter at On Cappy's Plate. K-A-P-P-Y-S is how you spell his nickname, and see the incredible work that he has done with his amazing team through rachelray.com. Hi, I'm Katie, a hospitality educator and the host of Making Room by Gather podcast. I am set to see our communities get back to the table through hospitality, but it wasn't always this way. My husband and I moved to Thailand, and through it, I experienced some loneliness. And with it, I was given a choice to sit back and accept it or to do something about it. And for me, that meant two things: that I needed the healing to learn how to accept an invitation and the confidence to know how to extend one. Through this process, I developed some of the richest and deepest relationships of my life. Through Making Room by Gather, you will hear conversations from myself and experts in the areas of food, design, and relationships. You see, there are countless things trying to keep us from the table, but can I tell you something? Take a seat, because you are ready, you are capable, you are a good host. We are just weeks away from so many reasons to celebrate, with Father's Day, graduation parties, and endless outdoor gatherings ahead of us. Now, when I celebrate outside, I like for everything to be as simple as possible, especially when I'm serving drinks, like my wine. So many of us love box wine, but what can we do to make it a little more elevated and a little bit more chic? Guys, I have the solution and I am obsessed with it. Bebly is a game changer for all wine lovers and especially those who love box wine. No longer do you have to use a boring box that ruins your gorgeous tablescape. Bebly is meant to match your decor and be a countertop or bar accessory. With features like a double insulated wall, drip tray, carry grips for easy transport, it also comes with a 3-liter reusable bag and a stunning gold spigot. Anything that makes creating your tablescape a little bit more simple and effortlessly beautiful is something that I will always stand by. Head on over to the link in our show notes or bebly.com, B-E-B-L-Y.com, and use code BEBLY20, B-E-B-L-Y-20, for 20% off your order and free shipping. Bebly will change the way that you enjoy and serve your wine all season long. You are a new friend of Gather. Truthfully, I have a lot to learn about you, just starting to learn all the fun stuff. I do, however, know that we share the same passion for food, I'm sure, amongst other things. So tell us, we chatted just a little bit before recording, but tell us a little bit about what you want us to know about your journey to where you are. It's a loaded question. Yeah. So take it, take it whatever route you want.
It's so loaded. It's funny. I was like listening to some of your episodes and looking into your website, which is so beautiful. And I was like,
thank you.
I have like 100 questions for her about Thailand. Ooh. And all these places.
We could do that. That'd be kind of fun. Reverse interview a little bit.
Yeah.
You can go there.
My journey, I was mentioning to you before, there's like a lot of layers to it starting at a young age. So I'm happy to go deeper into any of them. So please feel free to stop me or make a note as I'm cruising through. But I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. My father worked on the wholesale side of the food industry. So my summer camp was basically like going on a truck with him to like the stockyards and produce markets of Chicago. And my mother was the chef of the family. My dad didn't bring home like a pound of skirt steak for the family for dinner. It was like a 10-pound box of skirt steak that we were like butchering, you know, in the family kitchen. And I stood on the chair watching my mom cook, and she was an incredible cook, you know, mostly developing her own, you know, style and recipes and grilling. And she took cooking classes at the Botanic Gardens in Chicago. And I remember there was this one recipe. It was like a Szechuan sauce, an Asian Szechuan style spicy brown sauce. And I would stand on the chair and she would add, you know, sherry and garlic and ginger. And she would say, "Taste it. What does it need more of?" And I'm like, What do you mean? What does it need more of? You know, like, I don't know. She's like, "Well, taste it. Does it need more orange? Does it need more spice or more garlic?" And I like had no clue what she meant. It was just like very new to me. I have two older brothers, and I would constantly create like little snacks for them as they would come home, you know, late at night when they were in high school or college. And when I was in high school, people would kind of joke, but not, and ask, you know, say, you know, "You should go to culinary school." And I'm like, "That's silly. Who goes to culinary school?" You know, like this was in the 90s when it wasn't what it turned into in like the mid 2000s or so, with the, you know, birth of Food Network. Food Network was birthed before then, but as it started becoming popular. So I went to a regular university. I went to University of Kansas in Lawrence. Beautiful, incredible place. Had an amazing time. But when it came time my sophomore year to go into a certain track of college, I was like, "What am I doing here? Like, I have no like genuine passion to go into communications or business or journalism or, you know, what." Like, I also like didn't know exactly what that meant. And I was watching TV late at night. I lived in a house with eight of us in a house, an 8-bedroom house with some friends my age and year older. And I would see some infomercials for culinary programs. And I was like, "Huh, this looks interesting." So I started applying like for just information applications and whatnot. And my, you know, college friends would get the mail and be like, "What's this, Kaplan? Like, what's this culinary school? Where are you going? Where do you think you're going? You're not leaving here, you know. In 1 year for spring break, everybody was going to Vegas for 4 or 5 days, which was like way too long to be in Vegas anyway. So I decided to go visit Johnson and Wales and Culinary Institute of America on the East Coast, and really enjoyed touring and visiting both of those schools. At the end of the day, I wound up leaving Kansas to go to Culinary Institute of America. Johnson and Wales was more of a college, a university with a culinary track, and I feel like I had that university experience. So I kind of was ready to like buckle down and like, you know, go to CIA and do the boot camp culinary thing.
Yeah.
which I love. And I always say, I talked to Anne Burrell on my podcast, and we always say how like if we could do the whole thing over again, like we would. Like we loved it so much, the whole curriculum. It was really cool. So when I you know, made some incredible friends in culinary school, did an externship, which is an internship but out in the field, at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills, which was amazing. I was there for about 6 to 8 months working in all different departments. Came back from my externship and, you know, finished out the second half of CIA. And I had this instructor who's now a certified master chef. There's less than 70 certified master chefs in this country. It's an extremely rigorous test to get this, you know, accreditation, if you will. His name is Chef Thomas Griffiths, who I'm still in touch with to this day. And he pulled me aside. My class after my extern was a banquet class, banquet and catering, which probably love.
Amazing.
And he, you know, he's like, Kaplan, what's your story? And I was like, what do you mean? What's my story? He's like, I don't know. He's like, you're getting through all your recipes. Your food tastes good. You're helping other people. You're doing your dishes. I'm like, I don't know. I just came from my externship and I had a really strong banquet, you know, program at the Four Seasons and maybe it helped. He's like, well, what's your plan after this? And I was like, I don't know. You know, not sure. I didn't even know if I wanted to be a chef. I just like loved food. Mm-hmm. And wanted to learn about food. He's like, listen, if you can, go back to school. Learn the front of the house, hospitality management, restaurant management. And I was like, okay. So at the time, the program was relatively new at CIA. And it was full. I tried to apply and it was full. They were taking like less than 100 people at the time.
A hospitality program? I haven't even heard of it. Wow.
So, yeah, okay. It was like a bachelor's degree that they started. Okay. So I wound up looking at other hospitality programs around the country and came upon Florida International Universities, which is, you know, ranked nationally and globally, and wound up going to FIU, met some incredible faculty, staff, chef instructors, you know, students that I'm still friends with to this day. And when I moved to Miami, there was a South Beach Wine and Food Festival, mm-hmm. Which many people may have heard of, that I had just missed the first time they did it on the beach. I had just missed by a week. And so I was in school and they needed student volunteers. And so I went to the staff and I said, I would love to be a student volunteer. I see there's, you know, all these chefs coming from, you know, Dean Fearing to, you know, Bobby Flay and Jonathan Waxman and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, well, what's your story? And I was like, I came from CIA and now I'm in school here and I just want to help these chefs prep if they need help. And they're like, you're going to do more than that, kid. I'm like, all right. So they made me the student leader, student volunteer leader of like the festival for the culinary demonstration area. The first year I was there, I like to say we had about 6 culinary demos, and then the year I left, 4 years later, we had 36. I connected with Food and Wine magazine, met some incredible people through Food and Wine. And the festival, which is a collab between Florida International University and what at the time was Southern Wine and Spirits, it's now Southern Glazers, Wine and Spirits, they hired me full time to work on the festival. And so I stayed in Miami, which I wasn't going to stay in Miami, but I stayed there, worked on the festival, headed up the culinary demos, and then worked there throughout the year. There was I was one of the first full-time employees to work on that festival, which at the time there was really only Aspen Food and Wine Classic and some random chili cook-offs, you know, around the country. And then Sobe started, and now you can, you know, pick a city and there's a wine and food festival. But, you know, almost on a weekly, literally weekly to monthly basis, we would get calls from every city around the country saying, we would love to start, you know, a wine and food festival in our community. Now people have figured out ways to do it. They're all a different model. But so I stayed working for the festival, and I had a hobby I did on the side where I would make t-shirts before you would kind of see them sold in like Nordstrom or Urban Outfitters or online. And they would be food related t-shirts. So I would have a purple shirt that said blueberry and blue, or a green shirt that said basil, or like a white shirt that said rice. And
love it.
So there's this inside joke I had with Chef Scott Conant, who has this polenta dish he's known for that's incredibly delicious. And so I made a t-shirt as a joke. It was yellow and it said polenta in brown. And I was wearing it one day, and I got a call over the radio when I was working for the festival saying, hey, Rachel Ray needs to be picked up from the hospitality suite at the Lowe's Hotel and driven down the beach in the golf cart to the demo tent. That was our system. I said, I'm right here. I could grab her. Right place, right time. Huh? Mm-hmm. So I went in there and I said, I think I had met her 1 year before that. And I said, hey, Rachel, I'm going to give you a ride to the suite. And she's like, polenta, cool shirt. Where'd you get that?
Stop.
And I was like, oh, I made it. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like 24 at the time or so. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, it's just a hobby. I have a bunch of different food shirts. She's like, well, I have a friend that I call Potato and Spud. Like, can you make me a shirt that says Potato and Spud? I was like, yeah, if you want. She's like, I don't get it. I was like, there's nothing to get. Like, I have like the store at home, and I make a t-shirt, you know, I have different food ones. And she's like, cool. So if I give you like money, can we start a t-shirt business?
Stop.
And I was
it.
Like, sure. And so we're driving down the beach in a golf cart, and she's like, here's my number. Here's my husband John's number. And if I give you like 10,000, 50,000, what do you need? Let's start a t-shirt business. I just knew how to make 1, 2, 3 t-shirts. So I dropped her off, and I was like, what the heck just happened to me, yeah, type thing. And so I started frivolously researching different t-shirts and lettering and printers and all this stuff. And this was at the time where she was about to launch her magazine that she used to have. She launched it, I believe, in October 2005. She said, hey, can you make me a t-shirt that says Yummo on it? I said, sure. So I made her a Yummo t-shirt. It was red. Like red or dark red with like a yellow orange, you know, font. And she wore it on the number one issue of the magazine. She was wearing this Yummo shirt that I made for her. She's like, will you come to New York? I want you to meet with my magazine team and show them all your t-shirts. And so I loaded up a duffel bag with t-shirts and met with, you know, all the folks from her magazine team. And they wound up starting a whole website called Shop Rachel Ray, through her magazine, that sold the one pot, the one oval pot that she had at the time.
Yeah.
Some of her cookbooks, some of these t-shirts. And then we just kept in touch. And I was teaching kids cooking classes also on the weekends when I was working for the Wine and Food Festival. I had simultaneously wanted to start this project, which at the time was called CAKE, which stood for Cooking and Kids Everywhere, where I wanted to bring in inner city kids into high-end restaurants to have them experience a meal that they maybe have never experienced. And I was sharing this all with her, and we were just, you know, texting and communicating back and forth. And she's like, have you thought about coming to New York? And I'm about to start a TV show. And I was like, yeah, you know, sounds great. She's like, keep in touch. And I started getting other job offers for wine and food festivals around the country. My now wife, girlfriend at the time, lived in LA. So I was just going to go out to LA and like do this new LA festival that was starting. And I was told Rachel that I was like, look, Katie's in LA. My wife's name is Katie. I was like, Katie's in LA. You know, I'm thinking about going out there. She's like, nope, come to New York. We'll figure it out. I'm starting my meetings with Harpo, you know, Oprah's company in Chicago. And I want you to meet with this person from CBS who had her show and all this. So I started meeting with all these people. She was flying to Chicago to, you know, brainstorm stuff with Harpo, texting me saying, give me some of your ideas. I'm about to go in a meeting. It was like really wild. And so I wound up moving to New York in July of 2006. And my wife came like shortly after that from LA because we had both talked about wanting to live in New York. Mm-hmm. Worked as an associate producer on her TV show on the culinary team for years, helped her start Yummo, which is her first cooking and kids charity, still work on Yummo. And then, you know, it's been 17 years now since I've worked with her. So all different types of projects in all food related. I like to say anything food related outside of her daytime show, I have something to do with. Sometimes I'm actually cooking. Sometimes I'm bringing people in to help cook. It really depends the project. It's really also something every day is something different.
Tell me if I'm wrong. So you left the CIA program kind of thinking, I just love cooking, not really sure what I want to do. Would you say that Rachel's belief in you and kind of encouragement dictated your career path?
I think it had a lot to do with it. Yeah. I mean,
did it give you clarity to an area you didn't really have clarity in, or what did that look like?
She's always had like a very strong sense of whatever it is she like wants to do. And so if she was like, oh, let's wait and see what happens with the show. But she wasn't. She was like, you know what? Come to New York. We'll figure it out.
Wow.
And I remember sitting in like the executive producer's office, Janet Anino, who's still a friend. And she's like, well, Rach told us to meet you and you must be good at, you know, something you're doing, you know, type thing. And
I guess the reason I ask that is because there have been people in my life that have kind of like named something in me or called things out that I didn't see. And it opened a huge door in my life, or like led me in a direction I never would have gone. And so I was just wondering if like it just all kind of happened at perfect timing. And
I mean, there's so much. Like when I was in culinary school, I knew I didn't want to be a chef. I loved food, but like all my classmates were like, I'm going to cook at this country club. I'm going to cook at this restaurant. When I was at FIU, I got recruited to work for Houston's, now Hillstone Restaurant Group, which they have like a very rigorous 6-month training program that they only handpick a few people. And like, if you get chosen, like you take it. And they chose 3 people from our whole school. And I was one of them and I didn't take it. They called the dean of the school and they were like, Andrew Kaplan's not accepting our offer for our program. And like the dean wasn't so happy that I was going to work for the Wine and Food Festival, but he understood. He wanted me to one day be like the president of like a major hotel corporation, sure. You know?
Yeah.
I still take calls to this day, literally on a monthly basis, people reach out, whether I know them, whether it's a friend of a friend, whomever, that are interested in culinary. They have a son or daughter and they want to talk to me about my path and how I got into it. Now there's so many, as you know, like there's so many more opportunities in the food world, but think like, I don't know, almost 20 years ago, like if you went to culinary school, like you thought you just were going to be a chef.
Yeah. I am always trying to find ways to spark conversation at my gatherings. And you might have heard about them before on the show, but our friends at Cotier Brand are masters of this. They have now expanded their Convokins collection to now include a couples edition and controversy edition. If you don't know what Convokins are, they are beautifully designed napkins that you could serve at any gathering. And inside is a question to help you spark meaningful conversation naturally at your gatherings. The new couples edition is for couples that want to reflect and go deeper with their partner. It not only sparks romance, but also deepens your understanding of one another. What a perfect date night idea. The controversy edition is for people who enjoy talking about today's hottest topics and is for those who are not afraid of having a bold conversation or just want to hear other people's point of view. Head on over to cotierbrand.com, cotierbrand.com, and use the code GATHER15 with no spaces for 15% off your next purchase. Convokins can also be found on Amazon and search for more of Cotier Brand's products at your local Target, whether you're celebrating a big milestone or a routine weeknight family dinner. Convokins are just what you need.
But there were other things to do. And so I'm still, I'm this case study at FIU. Like they still talk about like my, you know, path and the opportunities that, you know, were creative. But I think Rachel definitely saw something, you know, in me that I didn't necessarily see. I mean, crazier story. When I was graduating FIU, the founder and director of the festival, Lee Brian Schrager, this incredible human who started South Beach Wine and Food Festival and New York City Wine and Food Festival. He works for Southern Glazer Wine and Spirits. He took me out to dinner. We were going to a concert. He had tickets like an Elton John concert or something like in Miami. He's like, Cappy, what's your plan when you graduate? These people from Food and Wine were telling me they loved working with you. Would you ever consider working for the festival? I was like, I don't know. You know, like I really want to work for like a China Grill management. Like they were like this hot restaurant group back in the day, large, independently owned, you know, restaurant group. And he's like, oh, okay, interesting. We go to the Elton John concert, have floor seats. I'm sitting. We sit down. Lee's like, oh, Claude. There's this guy, Claude, who worked with him, who is the director of operations for China Grill management. A stadium of like 20,000 people. We're sitting. And less than an hour later, me telling him that I want to work for China Grill Management, we sit right next to this guy. Anyway, I wound up not doing that because
Lee
brought me into, he's like, all right, you're coming to work for the festival.
Wild. Yeah,
I mean, like, there's just so many wild, and I have a hard time with the, like, what do you want to be 5 years from now type thing, you know, because like, I could write that down every single year, and I don't know that anything would have ever matched up. Like, it'd be nice to have like a great plan like that. And I think it's good to write things like that sometimes. But for me personally, nothing would have ever like.
And it sounds like your story has so many different stepping stones, you know, it's just been like one random, you know, like random event or whatever led to another that you could have never anticipated. So I see what you're saying. It's good to have like goals in some kind of direction, but you have to be flexible.
100%.
Right. Oh my gosh, I almost could get like teary thinking about your story, because I think right now, especially in this industry, it's all about like pitching and hustle and like all, which I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, are important, but you just kind of like had your head in the game, showed up with excellence, and doors opened.
Yeah.
Like what's that about? I know it's not a business podcast, but I geek out.
Well, I think it's important. I love it too. Look, every time I go back to Miami once a year for the festival, and they always have me speak to the classes. And I think networking is a huge thing. When I was at CIA, like they're like network, 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 join this club and that club and the baking club and the, you know, spice club and the wine club and this, and like you can never do too much. And I did so much of that and networked so much, and CIA was so professional. And then you leave and you're like, man, I should have done more, you know. So like I had that training, and going in FIU, which is a normal university, I kind of took that CIA training and just like kept my head in the game. And like when I volunteered for Sobe and realized like I love doing event management around wine and food and meeting all these chefs, someone from Food and Wine who ran, his name's Devin Padgett. He's still a great friend. He's been producing Aspen Food and Wine Classic for over 30 years. He's like, why don't you come to Aspen and help? He's like, I don't know if I could pay you like this first year. And, you know, I was like, that's
cool. Like, that's so, okay. Yeah.
I flew myself to Aspen. Yeah. I think he maybe gave me a hotel room, and I worked for free that first year to like bust my butt, you know? Well, what happened the next year? They paid me, you know? So like, I don't know. That's a whole nother conversation about.
No, I know. I'm geeking out over here, but I'm not sure if the listeners would.
I just think like the network that, you know, even still to this day, I've been working, you know, in my profession or career path for 20 years plus, and I still go to events where I'm like, do I want to go to this? All right. If I go to this, I got to make sure I connect with at least one person, you know, that I follow up with. Like after or meet or learn about, and you know,
wow. So. Have you written a book about it?
No, a publisher tried to have me write a book about it, but I didn't know what I wanted to, how or what I wanted to write about.
A few of our guests recently have kind of like created these like hybrid cookbooks where it's kind of like half novel, half cookbook. I'm sure you've seen them.
That's cool.
I almost could see something like that happening. It's just like, I feel like your story really stands out. Like it's really different, but obviously, I don't know, really interesting and successful and all those things. So
and I think like
be a good read.
The, like the hustle is real, like Andrew Zimmern on your podcast, which you did a great job with that, you know, talked about, you know, his show and how it got picked up and right place, right time. And that producer from Jay Leno called, or I think it was Jay Leno called. And
I can't remember. I don't think it was Jay Leno.
It was some late show that saw him like bizarre, you know, bizarre
Jimmy food. Fallon, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
And, you know, it is right place, right time. It's also, I also think it's like, it sounds so cliche, but just like being genuine and true to like what you believe and not trying to fake it. And, you know, Rachel Ray is who she is on TV and across her brand because of what she believes in. And she's developed this trust with her customer. And I think trust is such a massive, massive thing, whether it's a server at a restaurant, whether it's someone changing your tires, whether it's your dry cleaner, like whatever it is, like, why do you go back? Like, you trust someone, like they may be, they're nice, they're honest, they're trustworthy. I think it's like such an important thing. And, you know, I've had a lot of various opportunities throughout my career to do things. And I'm just like, I don't want to, I'm not into it. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I've had opportunities to do cookbooks, but like, I could give you 50 ideas that I think would be a good cookbook, but like, I want it to be meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's why the like my podcast Beyond a Plate, which we could get into if you want later. Like,
yeah, I'd love it. Yeah.
That's very meaningful for me. I'm starting a new one that's kid focused called Clean Plate Club. That's, you know, very meaningful. Like, so for me, it's all about food and educating or teaching kids, families about food, cooking, restaurants, an ingredient, an item. I mean, I could read you my last 10 texts in my phone. Over half of them are probably someone asking me about a restaurant in a city or what to order from a restaurant here. I'm going to London. Where should I eat? Like, and so I just love like people to the point of, you know, gather, like getting around a table and enjoying this experience and creating this memory. Like, it's such an important thing. So again, going off on a tangent, but like, I think hustling is important. Putting yourself out there is important, but you know, if you're, sure, there's a fake it till you make it type thing, but like if you fake it too much, you know, people see through that.
That's a good word for like whether you're in this industry or not. I feel like social media has created this cookie cutter and it's very tempting. And it's like you will achieve success if, you know, and then the algorithm hates it and stuff because it wants you to show up authentically. Right. So it's, I don't know. I'm so curious to see how social media kind of morphs over this next season, especially because it's the face of so many of our businesses. And like you said, if Rachel was like, oh, I need to be polished and not funny, she never would have come up with her catchy phrases that we like all know her for.
Totally.
You know, she was just being herself. Yeah.
She and is like in the first time I met her, I was like, hey, you want to go relax in the green room? She's like, sure, let's go get green in the green room. I'm like, oh my God, you're like, just like you are on TV. This was like 20 years ago almost, but I mean, it's
love it. Pretty,
it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I was going to ask you, were you like starstruck at all when you first drove her, or at that point, were you surrounded by so many big names that it didn't faze you?
That was like in the first couple few years or like of me being around like big name chefs. And I definitely was starstruck by some because I had spent like 2 years at one of the best culinary schools in the world learning about these chefs. I don't get starstruck by like act. Like, I feel like everyone's a human. Do you know what I mean? Like some are mean, some are nice. Everyone has problems behind closed doors, you know, things you don't know about. Like, you never know what's happening. But I just spent so much time learning about these incredible chefs. So at first I was like, oh my God, Larry Forgione and Jonathan Waxman, and, you know, Bobby Flay or whatever. Like, it was amazing. But, you know, I've now seen hundreds of these chefs hundreds of times. So it's like, it's still incredible to meet ones I haven't met. I'm doing a podcast soon with Larry Forgione, who's this like OG, incredible American chef, and his son, Mark Forgione. And I'm like geeking out because I learned about Larry in school. You know what I mean? So like, that's cool for me.
So like, it's one of those things that sounds like you can appreciate their accomplishments, but you still see them as human.
100%.
And that's a healthy place.
Yeah. And also like being around Rachel's daytime show, like it's just like celebrities on all the time. And granted, you know, it's different when like Bill Clinton walks in the room or, you know, like a huge, who are some other I don't know, like Shakira performed on her show. Wow. And we're like, holy cow, these are like big people. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, sometimes Gary Sinise, you know, the actor came on one time, I remember, and there was like some technical glitch and he was like standing offside. And I said to our executive producer, I was like, oh, I think he's from like the town next to me. She's like, you comfortable going to talk to him, you know, to stall a little? I was like, sure. So I went on set and I was like, hey, Gary, I'm Andrew. Like, I'm from Deerfield. He's like, oh, my parents have a acting school next door, right, you know, near you. And I was like, yeah, I know. And it was like, I'm like, oh, this is just a normal dude, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And so, yeah. I don't know, like, I've been around plenty of celebs, so I guess I'm not really starstruck because, again, I think they're all human. Maybe just like being around Rachel so much also just is that. I also lived in LA and don't like know who anybody is, so maybe that helps. Everyone's like, they're so-and-so from that movie. I was like, yeah.
It's almost like your career path prepared you for it. That's so it's a healthy place to be.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone's like, how'd you live in LA? It's all like entertainment and fake stuff. I was like, I worked in the food world and like, don't know what you're talking about.
So. Wow. Yeah. There you go. So I know we talked quickly just about like vulnerability and authenticity with like brand and stuff, but what do you think it is about Rachel that has kept her brand going so strong for all of these years? Would you say it's just that or anything else you would attribute it to?
I think it's just like her honesty and wanting to help her viewer, reader, consumer. She's never going to put her name on anything that like she wouldn't use herself, like literally, like go into her kitchen. It's all her stuff. Like we used to be on QVC all the time. And I used to hear from people at QVC, like her stuff sells so well because she actually uses it. Like on her shows and at home, and she can say, I use this for X, whereas other people may be coming on just to like sell a pan, you know, or something like that. Right. So, you know, if she's writing a book, she needs to make sure it's ingredients that are accessible for people and people are going to want to cook it at home. If she's doing a show, she wants to make sure it's accessible. You know, it runs across the brand through like the charity, the thread of the charity, the brand, whether it's her furniture, you know, home furnishing lines or plates and platters or cookware or anything. It's like, how could anyone anywhere like be part of what she's doing, you know? And so we would do stuff with charity partners, for example, and I'd be like, okay, like this is good for this area, but how, like, what if someone, what if someone in Montana sees this, like, how can they be a part of it? You know? So it's always like, you know, we don't have to be at all things to all people, but if we're doing something, we want most people to be able to feel like they can be part of it. And I think
the word intentional is coming to mind.
Yeah. I think that's a great word. There was a funny moment. He's married to Tracy Pollan, Michael J. Fox. We were going to an event in New York once and there was like a red carpet. Rachel had recently been on the 50 most trusted celebrities list. She was number two she was number two behind like Tom Hanks or something. And Michael J. Fox was on the list, but like further down. And so we were walking up into the event and I was with Rachel and Michael J. Fox is like, hey, Rachel. And she's like, hi, Michael. How are you? He's like, you know, you and I were recently on a list together, but you scored a little bit higher than me. Like, it was pretty funny. But I think that I honestly, that trustworthiness and honesty is like such an important thing. I mean, look, her first pot, which I just sent it to someone as a gift last week. It's 20 years later, almost still amazing. It's like an oval pasta pot and there's an oval skillet because, you know, pasta is long, so you just drop it in. You don't have to like break it. And it's like pretty genius, but she like drew that on a napkin, like literally, you know, and there's just so many things. And while she has this like big successful brand, there's just so many things that she doesn't think she's small potatoes per se, but yeah. she doesn't act very corporate-y. And, you know, we don't sit down and we're like, what's our strategy for the next 5 years? And what, you know, we work with brand partners on things like that, but, you know, she's a strong woman and, you know, she may call this afternoon and say, I would love to see something like this. And
this Father's Day, treat the dads you know to the ultimate grilling experience with Good Ranchers. Finding the right gift is hard, but they've got you covered with the finest high-quality meats that will make any dad's taste buds sing. He'll be firing up the grill and sinking his teeth into tender steaks, juicy burgers, and succulent chicken sourced from local farms across the country. Their commitment to quality means that you are getting 100% American-raised meat, ensuring that every bite is full of authentic, mouth-watering taste that every dad craves. Plus, for a limited time, save $30 on your box when you use my code GATHER. Whether your dad likes to grill for the family, host a backyard cookout, or just loves to eat meat, Good Ranchers has the gift to put a smile on his face and a big steak on his grill. Head on over to goodranchers.com today and shop their Father's Day deals and bundles. Be sure to use my code GATHER when you check out for $30 off your gift of American meat at goodranchers.com. Give a dad you know American meat delivered. She's really... I really don't want to make this a business episode, but it's so cool to see how she, you know, you hear so many people, and it's probably old school a few generations ago, saying, stay in your lane, pick your one thing, right? Yeah. And that's kind of being encouraged today. But I'm like, wow, she really just has clarity. She knows her demographic. She knows the everyday host, and it all works. I mean, yeah. Everything she's doing works. I'm sure not everything, but it's encouraging to me, and I'm sure others listening, as a dreamer entrepreneur. It's like, you don't just have to pick your one thing. You know, you can have a few. Yeah. It can work together. That's,
yeah.
I don't know. She did
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And made her way into all of our houses.
Has like everything turned to gold? No. Have a lot of things. Like, yeah. And, you know, it's hard. Look, she has started a daytime show in 2006 when everyone only knew her as this woman on Food Network. Yeah. You know, and it was not easy to book guests and things like that. And before we knew it, we were like one of the leading daytime shows, and people were trusting her a little more with things outside of the food space, more in the lifestyle realm and like things like that. You know, and I think you maybe have heard, but it's been seven, you know, we're ending the show. It's been 17 seasons, which is
wow.
Like really wild. I think there's been over, I don't know, probably 40, 50 plus daytime shows that have been started and canceled like in the time that she's had a show, and she's been able to maintain something pretty special with the help of like a crazy talented like crew and staff that quite a few of them have been there for that whole time, which also says something, you know.
Definitely. What a dream. That's so fun for all you guys, and ending on a high note, I would imagine. Is that how you guys all feel?
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah. it's bittersweet, you know. It's like
right.
There's people who are like, I'd stay here for 20 more years if it would, but digital world changes, TV changes, daytime TV changes. There's a lot of other, you know, Oprah's gone away, Dr. Phil's gone away. Like a lot of people have gone away. You make room for new, like that's life. That's, you know,
yeah.
That's food. That's ingredients. That's
yeah.
Cars that, you know,
yeah, that's deep.
So, yeah.
Deep, but true, you know, Do you read any of Henry Cloud's stuff?
I don't.
He talks a lot about boundaries and change and integrity and crazy profound. My background is social work. It's what I ended up studying in school. And so I ended up reading a lot of his stuff. And he talks about pruning a lot and the need to prune in order for new growth and new things. And if you never prune, it stays the same, right? So
I love it.
You don't know what's possible, but have to geek out with social work once in a while. Okay. So I want to talk about her foundation just for a little bit. To be totally frank, I just recently learned about it. So what do you want us to know about it?
I will blow your mind with some of it. momentarily rest assured. You will know when that happens. But so I told you a little bit of how I got in touch with her through this Cooking and Kids project I worked on. And, you know, at that time, she was like, you know what, my mom and I have been talking about a charity related thing. And why don't you come to New York? So that's, you know, one of the main reasons why I wound up moving there was to help her start her original charity, which is called the Yummo Organization. You know, Oprah obviously backed her daytime show. Oprah was like the first week a guest on her show. And she always said to Rachel, like, do something that's like meaningful to you, type thing. And so food, you know, pick a way to give back that's meaningful to you. And so obviously that was like food with Rachel. So Yummo was started around 2006, 2007. And we say cook, feed, and fund. So the cooking is a cooking and education component. Feeding is feeding hungry kids, and fund is funding cooking scholarships and education. So we have multiple national partners in each of those umbrellas. We've done everything from school food work, and I could do a whole podcast on that. We've worked with President Clinton's Alliance for a Healthier Generation. We've worked with Food Corps. We've worked with different, you know, New York City schools, Chicago public schools, all different, you know, Urban School Food Alliance, all different, you know, organizations there. Boys and Girls Clubs of America, we're doing something. National PTA, we're doing something. The Feeding Hungry Kids. I personally sit on the Leadership Council for Share Our Strength, No Kid Hungry. And Rachel's been giving to them since before her charity days, of her personal charity. So we work mainly with Share Our Strength and Feeding America, the two larger hunger relief related organizations. And then the cooking education, we have a couple different scholarship-esque programs with the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation. So we have Rachel Yummo scholarships that we give to people who want to go into, you know, a culinary or hospitality program. And then we also started a they have a program called ProStart, which is a high school culinary curriculum. And so we give these mini grants to the high school culinary curriculums if they want to, you know, buy new equipment or new textbooks or utensils or whatever it may be. So we probably have, I don't know, I'll ballpark 20 to 30 partners through that work. And some of them we have one program, and some of them we have eight programs going on at any given time. Now, this is just the human side of her giving, as we say. She also has the animal side, which most of her efforts from her pet food called Nutrish has gone to that, most of them. So combined with Yummo and what we've now established, the Rachel Ray Foundation, she's given, I think, over $100 million to charities, you know, on the human and animal side, which is
unreal.
Pretty wild.
Significant.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay. What would you say is a call to action for people just learning about the foundation? I mean, either one, you could take it human or animal. So if someone's like, this is right up my alley, you know,
yeah,
I share the same heartbeat, what is a way they can respond?
Okay. I'll try not to get too far in the weeds, but I'll stay high level.
I love it. Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
I'll start with something that like Rachel and I both say, because President Clinton said this to us once at an event that we had, the only event fundraiser we had. You don't need to have all the money in the world to give.
Wow.
You can use, you know, a dollar goes a long way. You can use your voice and you could use your time. Okay. So $1 could be the equivalent of 10 meals for some of these hunger relief organizations, metrically speaking. Giving your voice. You may have 100 followers on a social media platform, 1,000, 10,000, or 100,000, or a million. But if one person sees that, that's in need of help, you made a difference, you know, and your time, you know, we're all busy, but can you set aside 1 hour a month to volunteer for an organization that may be meaningful to you and find that organization that may be meaningful? There's over 5,000 Boys and Girls Clubs across the country. I don't know their volunteer structure, but I'm guessing they would love a volunteer. There's 200 food banks across the country that I know use volunteers for packing groceries and, you know, packing bags and things like that. So there's a lot of different ways. If one of these things that I said struck a chord with you, like getting food to families in need, educating kids about food and cooking, you know, we don't use volunteers directly because most of our work is done through our partner organizations. But I would say, you know, figure out what that is for you. And by the way, it may not be anything I said. You may be a photographer, okay? But I'm sure there's a little kid that would love for you to spend 30 minutes with them to like show them a camera or educate them on how to use an iPhone to take great pictures or something like that. So whatever space you're in, theater, someone just called me about a theater program they have in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, use your voice, use your time. You don't have to have deep pockets necessarily, you know?
I love that. That's good. Okay. Well, to end, I mean, I feel like we could pick up on so many of the like the different topics and themes in this conversation and expand on them, you know, but I want to be sure to talk about you a little bit. So you have a growing platform of your own and a podcast called Beyond the Plate. I'm asking you this question a lot, but I mean, truthfully, I'm coming as a learner today. So tell us what you want us to know about it.
Yeah. So do you want the short, medium, or long?
I want you to pick.
Okay.
I want you to pick.
Beyond the Plate, we started about 6 years ago. We just wrapped our season 8 of the podcast. We'll be starting next month to record our season 9. Beyond the Plate is a podcast where I sit down with chefs, food personalities, restaurateurs from around the world to discuss their journey into the food industry and also how they give back to their community. So having worked in restaurants and having, you know, I know a lot of chefs. I know how generous they are with their time, with their restaurant staff, with their food. And I think to a lot of people, you know, restaurants and chefs are like a photo in their restaurant or like, you know, a photo of a certain dish that's posted on Instagram. But little do most people know, these chefs are getting 5, 10, some of them more requests a week to donate a dinner for 4 to their restaurant, come to an event and give 500 portions for free. And no, we're not giving you money back. And, you know, all and on and on and on. And restaurants aren't places that make a ton of money, yet these chefs are like first in line, you know, to help out a cause or an organization. Or think of disaster relief, people like Jose Andres and World Central Kitchen, like they're first there on the front lines to cook food for people in that have gone through like catastrophic, you know, conditions. And so I like to shine a light on that, you know, and the good that a lot of these chefs are doing. And we've talked with, like I said, people, I mean, everyone from the Food Network, like Guy Fieri, Giada De Laurentiis of the world, to the chefy chefs like Daniel Hum from 11 Madison Park and Thomas Keller and Jacques Pepin, who I know was on, you know, your podcast, and on and on and on. So I have a few former colleagues and some friends of mine that helped me bring it to life. I thought I was going to do it alone, and I don't know how I thought I was going to do it alone. But I have some great help, how much time it could take. Mm-hmm. And so Beyond the Plate is, we have some incredible brand partners that we work with as well. It's been a real joy to work on. Going into season 9, we're doing a special season we're calling Duos. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be interviewing like chef duos. So it could be a husband, wife, father, son, you know, chef, mentor type. So we're really excited for that. We did a couple in the past. We did the Voltaggio brothers. Once in the past, and then we just did a live episode about a month ago in San Francisco with two chefs, Stuart Brioza and his wife Nicole Krasinski from Staper Provisions and a couple other places. So they're super fun, and we have some great ones lined up for season 9. And yeah, that's Beyond the Plate. And we have can I tease a new one we have coming up?
Oh yeah, please. Go for it. Yeah.
So, we have a new one coming out called Clean Plate Club, which is directed towards kids and families or caregivers. And they're going to be short 5-minute episodes, and they're going to be like story time, but with a recipe. So we're gathering recipes from celebrities and chefs that cook with their kids or for their kids. And essentially I'm reading them in the style of story time. And then I have 4-year-old twins at home, Leo and Ella. So they're kind of helping me with little nuggets of educational, you know, info and questions along the way. So, you know, if, you know, we get a voice memo from a celebrity saying it's packed with vitamin C, you know, one of the kids asked me, what's vitamin C? And then I could, we could kind of give that, you know, little educational element or, so that's super fun. And we'll put probably the first batch of those Clean Plate Club episodes on our Beyond the Plate podcast platform. So you'll be able to find it there, soon. And then we'll also, you know, start it, create it as its own podcast. So we're excited for that one.
We've never talked about a kid's podcast on the show before.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yeah, that'd be the first one. And we have so many parents and like young kids represented in the community. So
yeah,
I'm sure people will be excited.
It's good. I have a friend who's a musician, producer in LA. So he has like created a fun little jingle for it. We have a great, cute little logo for it. So it's really exciting. I mean, you know, we're in our cars, we have, you know, speaker devices at home, and, you know, as parents, you kind of want your kids to watch something a little substantial and not have it all be silly YouTube videos.
Right.
Something educational would be nice. And truth be told, kids are into food, as we've been talking about a lot. So, you know, they're these short, you know, they're easy to digest, no pun intended. And hopefully a kid hears it or a parent hears it and, you know, they'll be able to go and get the recipe and cook it. So we're looking forward to it.
Amazing. As we're wrapping up, I'm thinking about how your season at the CIA from, like, I love saying that CIA because it's I feel like some people don't know Culinary Institute of America is also CIA, so it's like a play on that. Anyways, leaves you guessing. But your season there, from what am I going to do with this, kind of led to production, event planning, I mean, goodness gracious, podcasting. What other hats would you say it's morphed into?
I mean, I have worked in kitchens. I've done event production, as you said.
Yeah.
Podcasting, but I oversee Rachel's like cookbook photo shoots a lot of the time. I've worked as a producer on some of her, you know, Food Network shows in the past. And
yeah. So it really has, I don't know, turned into something incredible.
Yeah. I like to say I'm not like a master of one. I like to think I know a little bit of a lot of things.
I'd almost prefer that. Would you say that too?
Yeah, I think so. And I sometimes I'm like, what would I be like if I like just like focus on one of those things? Maybe I'd be bored because I just like, that's not my jam, you know? But I was talking about this with a friend of mine who he's a songwriter, and he has an incredible songwriting podcast called And the Writer Is. And we were talking about it too. And he was telling me to read a book. I believe it's called Range. And it speaks exactly to kind of what we were just talking about, you know.
Multi-passionate entrepreneur or whatever. Yeah.
I started it, but I haven't finished it off. I need to get back into it because I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I have a whole graveyard of half-read books, so I get it. Well, we end each of our shows with the same three questions, and I want to hear your answers as well. The first one is something you have eaten recently and loved.
Gosh. Well, if history of me talking on this episode is anything, you'll know you're not just getting one answer.
Yeah, go for it.
Huge fan. I'm just going to go out the restaurant route.
Whatever.
In Chicago, Daisy's restaurant just moved and reopened in a new location in Logan Square. Incredible. And if you go during the day, they have some delicious pastries and whatnot. Mindy's Bakery also, which is around the corner from me, has like 10 out of 10 pastries. Also, Andros Taverna, Gigi's Rotisserie Chicken in Chicago. But if we're talking outside of Chicago, Kafar, I just went to in Brooklyn, New York, Chef Michael Solomonoff. I had this chicken schnitzel that was out of control good. And then if we go to the other coast, I'll end it with West Coast. the two chefs I mentioned, Stuart Brioza and Nicole Krasinski, opened up a place called the Anchovy Bar. And I'm not like a big anchovy. Like, I didn't think I was an anchovy person. And there's probably people listening like cringing. I feel like you're like one end of the spectrum or the other. Like, you're either like all about them or you're like, ugh. And I like wasn't all about them, but he has this anchovy program that he was telling me about. And it like blew my mind. I sat at this little table with him and he was feeding me a couple dishes that hadn't hit the menu yet. And I thought we were going to get attacked by the tables around us because they were like, what is that? What are they eating? But yeah, Anchovy Bar, if you're in San Francisco, is like 10 out of 10.
We've never gotten any of those before, so we'll take them. It's great. How about a gathering you attended that made you feel a strong sense of belonging? And if you could pinpoint it, what it was that made you feel that way? It could be at any point in your life. It doesn't have to be like this year.
Oh, I've heard you ask this question and I was trying to think of something recently. And the recent thing I thought of was a dinner. I had mentioned Share Our Strength, No Kid Hungry, the organization that we work with. I recently went to a dinner that they held in New York, about a few hundred people. They raised over $1 million.
Wow.
Al Roker was honored with an award and Danny Meyer, the restaurateur, was there. And there was like some incredible chefs that use their voice for good, as I like to say, that were in attendance. And just being in a room like that with people who are champions of a cause, like any cause, it could be a cause that I don't work on, but probably like being in a room with people who like fight for something, whether it's like their voice, like I said, their voice, their time, their money, like there's something really powerful about that. So I was going to use that, but then you said any time in the past, and it's probably like that first South Beach Wine and Food Festival that I worked on. It was like 2003 or four. Being a student volunteer, being around these chefs that I was just learning about in culinary school and hospitality school, and like just being around hundreds of people in the same, like it was one of my first events, like as a professional, if you will.
Yeah.
And being around all these other professionals with like minds, it was like one of the more powerful weekends.
Wow.
You know, I ever had. Yeah.
I could almost feel and picture that. That's cool. It's really cool.
It's incredible.
And last but not least, my new question and one of the most fun these days, something you have discovered recently that you think everyone should know about, new TV show, Amazon purchase, anything like that.
Not a big TV watcher, although I just finished Ted Lasso and enjoyed it.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big cookbook buyer and I wish I had all the time to go through all the ones I buy. Sometimes it's to support people who I know put a lot of work into it and are talented. And sometimes it's genuinely interesting to me. And the recent one on top of my desk that I have is from a chef and friend. His name's Ken Oringer in Boston. And him and his daughter, Vervin, they wrote a book called Cooking with My Dad, the Chef.
Oh,
and it's over 70 recipes and they're all gluten-free.
Nice.
So if anyone's like celiac or is gluten-free, it's you're getting recipes that a James Beard award-winning chef did with his daughter. It's not a kid's, it's like a very easy to navigate book, but there are some like incredible nuggets of information throughout this book that is fantastic. And I will say that I have to give a shameless plug to one of Rachel's grocery items.
Yes.
One of her first spice grinders was called 24/7, like an all-purpose, you know, all day, every day type, you know, seasoning. And she recently came out with a new version of that, a spicy 24/7.
Ooh.
And it has like dried Thai chilies in it. And I could get you a link. It's probably available on Amazon and
nice.
As well as random grocers. But I just used it this morning and it is like so delicious.
Oh, that's right up my alley.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I put it on like eggs. I put it on like the most random things, but
wow.
It's not like super spicy, but you taste it like, ooh, this has a nice little bite. Like it's,
well, you know, Thai chilies. I'm like, he had me there. That's all I need.
Yeah. There you go. Especially right? Going into grilling season. Like you could just grind this like over a steak, a burger, chicken, like literally anything. No joke. It's so good.
She's a genius. She's a genius. Well, those are good answers. We haven't had any of them before. Well,
sorry, those were not like one answer each.
No, like, this is how hard. I talk. This, I love this. You know, that's fine. I'm Italian. You know, it's just it's the name of the game. But, well, where do you want to send people? What links? What handles?
Yeah, I mean, for everything Rachel Ray related, she's on all the socials at Rachel Ray, and that's spelled RachelRay. So she's on, you know, Twitters and Instagrams and TikToks. Her TikTok ever since the pandemic has been like crushing it, which is nice. Super fun. And rachelray.com again, RachelRay is the website where you can find everything from her, you know, recipes to, you know, buying or purchasing any items that she has. And then for myself, my nickname is Cappy. People call me Cappy, especially Rachel, which is why I put it in my email signature, because I got enough people calling saying Rachel told me to ask for Kathy. I'm like, no, oh, no. Cappy, and that's me. So my social handle is on Cappy's Plate, Kappy. So you can find me. I'm most active on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter as well.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much. This conversation, I honestly didn't know what to expect, like what direction it was going to go, right? Because we haven't totally. Talked before, right? And this was so good. I feel like there's something for everyone. So thank you so much.
I love it. I hope everyone enjoys listening, and you send people to where they need to go. And,
yeah.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, guys. We will see you next week.